Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the Hebrew names of God today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, our speaker is Dr. Gary Hedrick, and his subject is the Hebrew names of God. What do these names mean? What do they tell us about God? And how do his names relate to each of us personally? These are some of the questions during the course of this study on the Hebrew names of God. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of the program. It's good to have you with us today as we continue our series of studies dealing with the Hebrew names of God. And today we come to the third of the construct names of God, and that's the name El Shaddai. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 17 and see what it says. This is the first occurrence of the name El Shaddai in the Bible. Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord," that's YHVH or Yod Hey Vav Hey, "the Lord," in all caps, "appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." In Hebrew, "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect," or "be thou blameless." Now, what does this El Shaddai mean? Well, when we were doing this research on the names of God, we couldn't find anyone who could tell us for sure what Shaddai meant. Most of the Christian commentaries said it meant God of the mountains, but they didn't get that from the Hebrew. They got it from, get this, an Akkadian word for mountain that sounds like the Hebrew. Others said it came from the word for breast, like a mother's breast, and so it meant the God who nourishes and sustains us. But nobody seemed to know really what it meant. So I got on the phone and called Rabbi Joseph. And I said, "Joseph, what does Shaddai mean?" And he said, "What do you think it means?" And I said, "Does it mean breast?" Well, Joseph got a real buzz out of that, and when he was done laughing, he said, my son, let me tell you what it means. It means sufficiency. It means God is enough." Wow, I like that. El Shaddai, the God who is enough. And when Joseph said that, I thought, how could I have been so blind? Of course it means enough. When you're in Israel, you'll hear a Jewish mother or father speaking to a little child who's making too much noise. And what do they say? They say, "Die, die, die." That doesn't mean die in the sense of stop living, but die, die, die. They're saying, "Enough, enough, enough. Die, that's enough." So El Shaddai is the God who is enough. So Genesis 17:1 says that when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Be thou perfect," he says. Now remember what we said at the very beginning of this study. God uses these names to reveal himself to his people. He wants us to know who he is. Remember, that's what we said. So why would he reveal himself to Abram at this particular point in his life as El Shaddai? Well, what's happening here is that God has made a promise that Abram is not sure he believes. God has told Abram and his wife Sarai that they're going to be the progenitors of not just a nation, but many nations. Listen to what God told Abram back in Genesis 15:5. It says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And the Lord said to Abram, so shall thy seed be." So that was the promise. The only problem was that both Abram and his wife Sarai, or Sarah, were well beyond their childbearing years. In fact, the scripture says Sarah had already gone through menopause. It says it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So she had already gone through that reproductive change of life where the ovaries don't function anymore. That meant that from a physical standpoint, it was impossible for Sarai to have a child. So Abram and Sarai decided the Lord needed some help to fulfill his promise. And they came up with a plan whereby Abram would take his wife's Egyptian handmaiden, her servant, Hagar, and have a son by her. And that's what they did. Abram was 86 years old when his son Ishmael was born. Ishmael was half Hebrew and half Egyptian. But do you know what? God was not pleased. He didn't need any help to fulfill his promise to Abram and Sarai. So after the birth of Ishmael, there's a 13-year period of silence where God says nothing to Abram. Beginning back in chapter 12, you've got the Lord speaking to Abram over and over again, all through this section of Genesis. It says, "The Lord appeared unto Abram and said this," or "he appeared to Abram and said that," over and over again. But at the end of chapter 16, when Ishmael is born, it stops. The Lord doesn't have anything more to say. It's the grieved silence of God. And do you know how long it lasted? 13 years. And so for 13 years, Abram didn't hear from the Lord. Does that mean he had lost his salvation? No. Does it mean God had severed the relationship? No. Does it mean the promise was no longer any good? Not at all. You see, there's a distinction between fellowship and relationship. The fellowship between Abram and God was broken for 13 long years, but not the relationship. In this case, the relationship between Abram and God was based on a unilateral covenant, and God was committed to keeping his promise no matter what. So the fellowship was broken, but not the relationship. But I'm not sure Abram knew that. He probably thought he was washed up. He and Sarah had blown it. He probably never expected to hear from God again. But he underestimated the Lord, didn't he? You see, God is the God of the second chance. And so chapter 17, verse 1, after 13 years had passed, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai. I am the God who is enough." And what does the Lord start doing? He starts repeating the covenant. He's going to make Abram the father of many nations. He's going to establish an everlasting covenant between himself and Abram for Abram's descendants and for generations to come. He's going to give them the land of Canaan. And he changes Abram's name to Avraham, or Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And Abraham seems to be following everything the Lord says here, right up to verse 15 in Genesis chapter 17. You can just see Abraham nodding his head to everything the Lord says. Yes, Lord, whatever you say. But then when he comes to verse 15, and the Lord says, "As for Sarah, your wife, you're not going to call her Sarai anymore. You're going to call her Sarah," which means princess. "Because I'm going to bless her and give you a son by her. She's not just going to be a mother, but she's going to be the mother of nations," God says. Can't you just see Abraham's jaw drop? He thought the promises were going to be fulfilled through Ishmael. And here God is going back to the original promise he made 25 years before when he called Abraham out of Haran. So it says Abraham falls on his face, and it says something interesting, because what he was saying to himself was not the same as what he was saying to God. It says he laughed to himself and he said, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah have a child at the age of 90? That's what he said to himself. But what he said out loud to God was, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." He still wants God to accept Ishmael. But God says, "No, Ishmael is not the fulfillment of my promise." Now you can see why the Lord introduced himself here in chapter 17 as El Shaddai. He wants Abraham to know that no matter how hopeless the situation may be, no matter how impossible it may seem, God is enough. He is sufficient. And he also has a sense of humor, by the way, because what does God tell Abraham to name this son of promise when he comes? Isaac. Name him Isaac. In Hebrew, it's Yitzhak. It means he laughs. Abraham had laughed at the notion that he and Sarah could have a child in their old age. And so the Lord says, "When I fulfill the promise, I want you to name your son Yitzhak." He laughs. And that's what they named him. So that's the name El Shaddai. It speaks of the sufficiency of God, even in the face of impossible circumstances. By the way, of the 48 times Shaddai occurs in the Hebrew Bible, 31 of those occurrences are in one book. Do you know which book it is? Who more than anyone else in the Old Testament needed to know El Shaddai, the God who is enough? Job. That's why Shaddai is found 31 times in the book of Job. Well, that's all of our time for today. Until next time, this is Gary Hedrick saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, here on Messianic Perspectives. If you're enjoying Dr. Hedrick's presentation on the Hebrew names of God, you'll be glad to know that we've placed this entire series on 3 compact discs. The set is available for your gift of just $18 or more to help us keep this program on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series on the Hebrew names of God, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.